Thank you, Graham.
Very well read, I must say. Thank you. Just going to sort myself out a bit. There we are. And if we could have the PowerPoint on, please. Thank you. So, Noah. Oh, Noah. Do you know what? There are two men in this congregation, faithful men of God, who love jokes, and particularly jokes about Noah. Their names are Hugh and James. And they, this morning, have fed me with many, many jokes that I could include in my sermon about Noah. But unfortunately, there isn't time. So, if you now have whetted your appetite, if over coffee you would like a little bit of light entertainment, please go and find Hugh and please go and find James, and they would love to fill you in with all their jokes. They're fantastic. And I will say again, they are faithful men of God, and I would like to honour them today. Okay, so Noah. Oh, I love this story, do you? Does anybody love this story? What picture comes into your mind when you think about Noah? Have a quick, shut your eyes maybe, have a little think. What's that picture before I show you mine? Okay, this is my picture. And perhaps this says a lot about my brain, okay? You're going to find out now, okay? This is what comes into my mind, if it's working. Yes! Do you know it brings back all those fuzzy, lovely, warm memories? Jigsaw puzzles, sticker books, colouring in sheets, lovely songs, lovely rhymes. That ark that comes down, you get all the animals up, don't you, go in there. Do you know that's what comes to my mind? And I think the Good News Bible for Children had this on its front cover. So it also brings that to mind. Lovely, fuzzy, warm memories. But do you know what? This story isn't like that at all, is it? At all. This week, we've been thinking about Whaley Bridge, haven't we? We've been thinking about the 6,400 population there that is in threat of flood, and their homes and their possessions and themselves being under that threat. But if we magnified that in an epic way, this is what Noah witnessed. Mass destruction. That's not warm and fuzzy, is it, at all? No. So, this is what we're going to look at today. Okay, how did Noah feel? Do you know God had given him, he had spoken to him all the way through, hadn't he? He'd given him measurements, exactly how wide and how tall and everything like that. He told him how many animals were going to go into the ark. He told him who was going to go into the ark with him. He told him what food to take in the ark. And he said it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. He knew that. And then when Noah was on the ark, the Lord shut him in. I love those words. The Lord shut him in. Have you ever been in a position where actually the Lord shuts you in and there's no way of going back? You are there. And I think that's how Noah must have felt. The Lord shut him in. So for 40 days and for 40 nights, it rained and it rained and it rained. And Noah must have seen some awful things with his neighbours, with his community, with his local area, just seeing total destruction. And he was on that ark and he was safe. Then the waters stopped. The rain stopped. What was going through Noah's mind at that point? So this is probably his view. Probably thought, right then, God, okay, you've been talking away to me for all this time. What's the next bit of your plan? Did God say anything? Do you know how long he had to stay on that ark? He was there for another 150 days until they found Mount Ararat. 150 days. Can you imagine being on an ark and being on a boat with your food supplies going down. God has said about the 40 days and the 40 nights. Had he said about the 150 days, the 5 months of sitting in the middle of an ocean, waiting for God to say something? And at this point, God said nothing. Noah was there. What happens at that time? How do you start to feel? Have any of you been in that position, not perhaps stranded in the middle of the ocean, that's quite something, but have any of you been in the position where God has led you along the path and he's talking away to you and you feel, yes, this is right, this is great, God's doing something in my life, I know where I'm going with this, fantastic, thank you, God. Then he shuts the door, there's no going back, and you're there. Your life seems to be on pause. If I can say, sorry, I missed one little bit there. It took them over a year until the earth was completely dry. And Noah's life must have felt as if it was on pause. Has anybody else felt like that? Life on pause. Do you know, 8 years ago, myself and my family, we came up to Aberystwyth. We felt that God... I certainly felt that God, I know Berrian did as well. We felt that God was telling us to move here. We had prayers. We had words from the Bible. We had God speaking to us. Everything fitted into plan. We knew this was the right thing to do. So we moved to Aberystwyth. It was a big thing for me. I had to leave my friends behind. I had to leave my work behind. I had to leave my church behind, one where we both had served for many years. I had to leave my language behind because I felt, well, I've got to teach in Welsh now. That's going to be really hard. Lots of things I had to leave behind. But you know, God said, I really, really felt he's saying, come on, you need to get to Aberystwyth. So we got to Aberystwyth. Berrian goes off to work. Kids go off to school, and there I am at home, twiddling my thumbs. And I go, that's okay for a little while. Quite enjoy it. It's quite nice, isn't it, for a little while? And then, do you know, by Christmas Eve, we came here at the end of August, Christmas Eve, I remember walking the dog down the very dark road and just going, I don't get it. God, what are you doing? Exactly like Noah felt. I could hear God saying, this is the right thing to do. This is what you have to do. I was obedient. I went. And then nothing. Absolutely nothing. What happens at that time in our lives? Do you know what happens? The enemy loves to sow lies. He loves to whisper inside. He loves to say, did you really hear God? Do you really think that God's got any interest in your life? Do you think God cares about that? Who do you think you are? Oh, you might as well try and work it out yourself because obviously God's forgotten about it. Yeah, just get on with it yourself. There's no point waiting. So we have these lies that come into our ears. When we're waiting for things, maybe it's for somebody to be healed and we're praying and we're praying and praying. If we're waiting for employment, we're waiting for that job to come. If we're waiting and we're praying for somebody to come to the Lord, if we're praying for reconciliation between ourselves and perhaps family members, wow, that wait can be hard, can't it? Especially if we don't hear that voice of God. And then the enemy loves to sow his lies. Now, I've got a story here. Does anybody go on Instagram? Or Insta, if I'm really cool, Insta. Does anybody go on Instagram? Do they follow National Geographic on Instagram? Anybody? No? Well, last week, there was this story that came up on Instagram. Now, I must say, as I tell you this story, okay, it does have a bit of a warning. If you're a bit squeamish in the stomach, you can put your fingers in your ears. But now I've whetted your appetite, you probably want to know what the heck she's going to say. Okay, so this came up the other day. This man here is a butterfly catcher from the Central African Republic. And his job is to catch butterflies and then he sells them on to butterfly collectors around the world. Now that sounds okay, doesn't it? You know? But how does he collect the butterflies? this is where he gets a bit squeamish, okay? He gets dog poo. There we are, some of you woke up then. He gets dog poo and he also uses his own urine. He mixes it up together and he daubs it on certain trees at certain times in seasons, because he knows which trees that some butterflies are attracted to. And then they come down to feed, and as they come down to feed, he catches them. Can you believe that? Do you know why are the most beautiful things in creation drawn to the most horrible, horrific stench? And why with us, as people who worship and praise the Lord, and he is everything to us, how do we get attracted to that stench of the enemy's lies? And we do. Isn't that incredible? So I want to talk tonight about how we can hush those lies. And Reverend Mark Ansell is going to be very proud of me tonight, because I've got four P's for my sermon. Isn't that fantastic? Four P's and an F. Okay, but I thought the F kind of looked like a P if we put a bit of a round bit on it. Is that all right? Is that close? Kind of. Oh, he's nodding. I'm all right. I'm good to go. Okay, so we're going to have a look how we need to hush those enemy lies when they come. Now, have a look at this picture. The first P is perspective, okay? Can you see this man? Can anyone see that? Now, this man looks as if he's on the Great Wall of China, and it looks as if he's leaning like this on the Great Wall of China. Is he? Is he standing up and leaning on it? No. Now, Hannah's done a good thing there. She's tilted her head. Very good, Hannah. I like that. So if you tilt your head, you can see actually he's horizontal. So if you change your perspective, I've got some very puzzled looks. Lots of people going like this. If you can change your perspective, actually, he's got his legs up on one side of the wall and his arm down on the other. I would show you, but obviously that might be a bit dangerous. So I won't go on that far. Okay, so perspective is everything, isn't it? So from Noah's perspective, when he was in the middle of all that water, how did he feel? He must have felt abandoned. He must have felt alone. He must have felt as if he was about to perish. And as if, what had happened to God? Where was God? He had been totally forsaken and left alone. What was going to happen? Had he heard God right? All these words must have been coming into his head, mustn't they, at this time? But you know, when those enemies' lies come in, what do we need to do? We need to ask God for his perspective on these things. What are you doing in this time of my life, God? What are you doing? Who do you want to be for me now? What do you want to grow in my life at this time? What is the point of me going through this? So that's the first thing, is perspective. And so we have to make sure that those lies that we hear come in alignment with personality of God, the character of God. We know what the character of God is. We know it says clearly in the Bible. And I believe, just for a very quick, easy way of remembering, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He is in control. If any lie comes in your head at any time, if it doesn't measure up to who God says he is in the Bible, it's wrong. My God is not like that. I do not believe that, because my God is not like that. I was doing the washing up, family washing up. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Christmas Day, after you've all had your food. I think it was actually Boxing Day anyway. But anyway, around that Christmas time, everybody in the kitchen together. And my sister tells me, she says, my brother, one of my brothers, has been saying things that weren't very nice about me. Shocking over the washing up, isn't it? And do you know what came into my mind? Was, I don't believe that because my brother wouldn't say that about me. And straight away God said, that's what you need to say about me. If you know God so well, then you know what he's like. You know what he's not like. So when those lies come into our heads, we say, no, I'm not having that because my God is not like that. So we've had perspective, we've had personality, God's character. The next one is promises, okay? Now, Noah had this promise. I will establish my covenant with you and you will enter the ark. So he had it before he went into the ark. Did he understand what that meant? Did he know what establish a covenant was going to be like? I don't think he probably did. We, on the other hand, we have the Bible, don't we? Oh, and it is jam-packed full with amazing, amazing promises. Promises like, I've got a list here. He will never leave or forsake us. Do not fear, I will help you. No weapon forged against us will prevail. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I love that one. All the days of my life. Goodness will follow me every day of my life. 150 days out on the sea, his goodness is still following me. Doesn't look like it to me, but it is. God is working. His goodness is working. And that amazing one for us, all things work together for good. Nothing is bigger or too difficult for him. So we have promises from the Bible, but we also have personal promises, don't we? Do you know? Sometimes people pray for us. Sometimes we hear God speaking to us. We know what God is saying. And do you know what I love to do? I have a journal. I write them in the back of my journal and I read them out loud. And that, I say, is who God sees me and my life. Do you know, he talks to me through pictures. He talks in different ways, different people, doesn't he? As you can see from that Noah's Ark picture, very childish. That's how. So that's how he sees me, that's how he talks to me. Fantastic, as a child of God, isn't it? So one of the pictures he gave me the other day, we were going for a little walk together, which is... This is how we do, me and God sometimes. So we were going for a walk, and we were going up a mountain. At the top of the mountain, there was going to be this amazing vista. But to get up to the mountain, there was this steep, sheer rock face like this. And of course, God being God just leaps up, doesn't he, you know? And I say, but God, I can't get up there. It's too slippery for me. And he goes, use my promises as your foothold. Incredible. Use my promises as your foothold. So when you get to those very slippy places where you think there's no way I can get out of this situation, I don't know how to, I can't do it, it's too much for me. Those are the times that you get those promises and you read them out and you say them and you declare them and you say, no, this is who is my God. I am not going to take those enemies' lies that I can't do it, that I'm not going to get anywhere, that I'm no good, I'm not good enough. All of those can go because this is who my God says that I am. Okay, the last P, preparation. Okay, today's preparation is tomorrow's success. So we can choose to use this time, can't we? Now we've got two choices, and we have two choices every day, I believe. Sometimes we get out of bed and we have that grumpy feeling. Do you have that grumpy feeling sometimes? I do. So we can have that grumpy feeling and you can be really negative and you can say, oh, this is way too hard. I can't do this. It's never going to work. I don't know where God is. He's gone quiet. He's talking to so-and-so over there. He's doing amazing things in that one's life. What about me? He's forgotten me. Oh, he's never going to see me. Or does he care about me? We can have that mindset, can't we? Or we can have the mindset that God is working inside us, that the beloved lives inside of us. So if the beloved lives inside of us, we turn into the beloved. We are the beloved. And that just draws all of heaven's blessings and promises towards us, doesn't it? Every single one. And if we stop to see that, then we see the possibilities. I read recently about a man who was preparing for a football game. And what he used to do to prepare, all the others were limbering up and doing their exercises and things like this. What he did, he lay down on the changing room benches, one of those, and he went through in his head all the times that he had done amazing things on the football pitch. And he ran through it and he goes, I remember that time, it was fantastic. Oh, great, I could do that. Do you remember that kick? Do you remember that goal? Do you remember this? Do you remember how I dodged around there? Oh, it was fantastic. This is who I'm going to be when I get out on that football pitch. Do you know we can start the day? I couldn't do that about football, personally. Football is not my hand-eye control wouldn't be so good to be talked about. But we can sit there at the beginning of the day and we can go, this is what God did for me last time. This is how he helped me there. This is what he's going to do. That's the blessing that he's given me. He's going to do it again. I know he's going to do it again. I can face this day. I know there's a difficult person and a different difficult conversation, but God's going to be there for me. Doesn't that make a difference to your day? Isn't that fantastic? And this is a time, so this quiet time, this time when God goes quite quiet and we're not quite sure what's happening, it's time for preparation, isn't it? And at this time, sorry, can I have that glass of water there, Lindy? Sorry. Okay. Thank you. Lovely, lovely. Okay. There we go. So, going back to Aberystwyth, this was the time when I was sat there 4.5 months, just sitting there thinking, what's God going to do? And waiting 4.5 months, I learned Welsh. I toned up my Welsh skills, always a good thing to do. But also, I learned to sit quietly and listen to the voice of God. That's what I did. And I had afternoons of it. And I could sit so quietly, hours on end, and then I'd take the dog for a walk. And we would just worship up in the woods. And it was an amazing time. And he was preparing me for the next step. I like to think of it. Do you know those really old 1980s video games? Is anybody in there with me? Super Mario Brothers. Does anybody remember that at all? Do you know? And they would go along one level, wouldn't they? And they would have to pop some balloons and all these showers of things. They'd have to catch some diamonds. They would have to, I don't know, get jewels and all kinds of things. And then when they'd done all of this, there was a ladder. But only when you got all of those things, then you could go up to the next level. You got your upgrade, yeah? Well, I believe this is a bit like that. God wants you to have an upgrade in your spiritual life, in the way that he interacts with you. He wants that upgrade. But the only way to get your upgrade actually is in these times. He's preparing you in these times for that upgrade. And it's to do with your positive mindset, the mindset that knows that God is blessing you. I've got to my F, which we're going to pretend is a P, but it's not, it's an F. Okay, are you there with me? Okay, and the last one is the favor of God. Now, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Favor. Do you know bullet point fingers? Do you know that these are my bullet point fingers? I've got 4 of them. Can you have your bullet point fingers to help you if you want to? Don't worry. I can look silly for all of you. Lindy's doing it. Good, well done, Lindy. Okay, bullet point fingers. Favor. God's seal of approval. Okay? 1. He is so pleased with us. We bring him joy. We live under his smile. He's not angry or disappointed in us. We live under his smile. 2, he knows us by name. He desires an intimate personal relationship with us. 3, his favor brings goodness and blessings. not always as we imagine, but always brings us goodness. And the fourth one, we are approved and acceptable to him. So we can live in confidence, living under his smile. So we can choose to live through these times knowing his favor is over our lives. Okay. So, where are you today? Have any of you feel that you're in the middle of the sea with a compass that is turning round and round and you're not quite sure where God is leading or where you are meant to go? Or do you feel that you've been praying for something for such a long time and just nothing is happening? Do you feel that maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's finances, maybe it's some healing, maybe it's a relationship with another member in the family or bringing somebody to God, so desperate for it and you're waiting for it and you can't see anything happening? I want to declare tonight the goodness of God over every single one of those areas in our lives. So would you, just as I finish, would you stand up? And I may need John here just to do a little bit of singing for me. Can you either hold your hands out before you or just think in your mind, it doesn't matter. But think of one of those areas where you are waiting for God to move. And I want to sing tonight, God is so good. You sing, do you know that one, John? No? Okay, I'll sing it. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Once more. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.